Candace, you own a home. I do not, so I always love asking about your home.
Okay.
Where are you at on making it more eco-friendly?
Oh, I like talking about this. So okay. We've done a lot. We recycle and compost, of course.
Sure.
We have low-flow shower and toilet. We have a gray water system, a rain barrel. We don't water our landscape. We mulch. I have an electric car.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I think we're good. Yeah. And scene.
Okay.
You win. You've obviously put a lot of thought into this, and so are other people now because of the Inflation Reduction Act that passed, and so everybody heard that they could get thousands of dollars to improve their house and try and be as cool as you are.
Not possible.
Yeah. but now it's at least becoming affordable for them to try.
One of those people is our listener this week. His name is Rob Van Alcamada, and he lives in Glendale. And he's the executive producer of Medicinal Media.
Oh, yes. Okay. Which is a nonprofit that highlights media that positively impacts mental health. He did a little short documentary on our podcast.
Right. Anyway, his question.
I'd love to know what kind of rebates and incentives are available from federal, state, local, maybe even utility companies as far as improving our home, potentially, with solar, heat pump, whatever else we can do to be more friendly to the earth.
Yeah, Rob's got big plans. He says he's decided to trade in his gas car, and now he's looking to maybe install a heat pump, and he might even want to add on an addition for the kids. But he's feeling a little overwhelmed by all the options.
I know there are some federal, state, and local and utility-level incentives around, but after a lot of research, I'm still not sure I found everything.
Yeah, he's right. So sorting through the best way to handle home improvement projects is a major headache.
Yeah, okay, it sounds like it. But let's see if we can help. This is the Anti-Dread Climate Podcast, your practical, personal guide to protecting the planet. I'm Kaylee Wells, KCRW's climate reporter.
And I'm Candace Dickens-Russell, environmental educator and CEO at Friends of the LA River.
If we're talking about carbon impact of a house, there are two buckets here. There's embodied carbon and operational carbon.
Yes, I've heard of this. So one is the carbon it takes to make something, and one is the carbon it takes to use something. Mm-hmm. So like with the house, embodied carbon is construction, right? Versus operational carbon, which is like running the lights and the AC and all of that.
Yeah, okay. And when Rob first wrote to us, he talked about adding on to the house. So he's considering both kinds of carbon here, which means we had to find somebody who can talk about both.
Yeah.
That guy is Stephen Palrand. He is the founder and ecopreneur of Carbon Check, which is an environmentally conscious home construction and design company. He also built a site called sustainablebuild.org, which just helps you figure out the financial and carbon cost of everything you do related to building.
Wow.
Stephen said to start, the most important thing, and this is a theme in Climate Friendly Action, try and repurpose the space you have before adding something new.
In older traditional homes, there might be a mudroom or a utility room or an old hallway, or maybe bigger homes made stairs. I don't know. You know, there are spaces that had previous uses that could be adapted to a different use now.
I dream of being a homeowner that's large enough to have a mudroom, but let's say we do. Maybe the mudroom can become the playroom the kids have been asking for instead of like adding onto your house.
Yes. And if that still doesn't work and you have to add more space, the number one thing you can do is try to minimize the amount of concrete you use, since that requires getting heated in a kiln and it releases all this carbon when that happens.
Yeah, I know. Concrete is really gnarly, which, you know, it's possible, like, if you have to add concrete and you've got the money, there is low-carbon concrete. Like, that is a thing that exists. It can be more expensive, and you have to find a contractor willing to find it and use it. But the architects I've spoken to say it's just as solid as your conventional, regular, old carbon-emitting concrete.
Yeah, I wouldn't even know where to find this fancy concrete.
Yeah, you're right. I don't either. Which gets to the other big thing he recommends for projects like this. You got to find the right contractor.
You as a homeowner need to be diligent and ask questions and find the person who has done these things, and therefore you can have confidence in their installation. So they are out there. You just have to do a little more work to find them.
This is actually a bigger point than I would have thought. I was talking to a colleague recently. She wanted to put in a heat pump. So she found an HVAC contractor and she was like, please, one heat pump. And he said, I don't do that. I'm a gas guy. I'll install a furnace for you, but no, I'm not going to do a heat pump. And Stephen, when I told him that story, said, yeah, that'll happen because it takes time and money to learn how to install new systems. So you got to find somebody who's already put in all the effort to do that.
And it's not like there's a magic database of eco-friendly contractors, but there are places to get started. So, you know, Energy Star, the government-backed system for that energy efficiency kind of labeling, they've got a list of partner contractors. So you can put in the region where you live and get a list that way.
Yeah, okay. And once you've got that list, you're searching through, you want to see if they have other green certifications too. So are they LEED certified? Are they green certified professionals? And then just like with any contractor, you don't just pick the first one you see. You got to talk to several, you got to interview them, you want to get quotes, all
on
that kind
and on
of stuff.
And on. Yeah, hiring contractors is not for the faint of heart. So definitely do your homework and try to get as much bang for your buck with these multi-certified folks, right? So for those of us who aren't putting additions on our houses, where do we start?
Well, stick with me because it's one of the least sexy home improvements you can think of. Mm.
Yes, it would be wonderful to put a solar array on your roof. Yes, it would be wonderful to put in solar storage, you know, and all that and get an EV. But the cheapest, greenest, most cost-effective thing to do is insulation.
Yeah, I've always heard that windows are the most effective home improvement that you can make.
Yeah, so he lumped those together. Okay. Just sort of, I'd say, my idea of making your house less leaky. Mm. You know, windows are more expensive than insulation, but they kind of accomplish the same thing of making your heat and your air conditioning work more efficiently because you're letting less of that energy escape outside. So do that first.
And when do the solar panels come in? It seems like when we talk about home improvements, I can't get enough of the solar panels.
You're
solar
right.
Panels.
Those are very popular right now. So that comes next. So insulation, step one, and then cleaning up how you heat and power your home.
You know, the more electric you can get your house and then adding solar, that's going to be the best way to, you know, get to reducing your footprint.
And when we're talking about electrifying stuff, heater, water heater, the stove, those are the big ones.
Yeah, start with the stuff that's using the most energy. And then come the plumbing fixtures, the dishwashers, the dryers, stuff that can be more efficient and use less energy and water. That also saves you money on your utility bills anyway. Just, you know, if you need a little extra incentive, gonna mention that too.
Or ditch the dryer and line dry your clothes, which is better for the clothes anyway. And I still think we have to address the other major question, which is how do folks get money from the government to afford to do these things?
Yeah, well, okay, so this is where it gets a little confusing. There are tax credits and then there are rebates. So the tax credits are available now and you can put down the qualifying home improvements that you did in 2023. If you haven't done your taxes yet this year, you can do this right now. $3,200 a year. Up to 2032, we're talking windows, we're talking doors, $2,000 for heat pumps or stoves or boilers. So a lot of options for tax credits. As for the rebates, when those are going to be available kind of depends on where you live. So we don't really know yet when the federal rebates will be available because the federal government has to give all the money to the states and then the state that you live in distributes it to you. But it sounds like most Americans will live in a state that will have the money and be ready to distribute it sometime in 2024. So you and I live in California. I think we will be among them. Now's the perfect time to figure out your plan.
And then, of course, the states have their own rebates. And sometimes your local government or your utility company will have some, too. I also just want to say, I know this can sound intimidating or overwhelming, but that doesn't mean it's not worth doing it.
Yeah.
There are literally thousands of dollars of savings out there waiting for you. And if you can use the energy in your home, since it's one of the biggest impacts you have, maybe you can make that one change.
Yeah, right. Even if you don't have everything you're going to do planned out, blah, 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 it's better to do one of those changes now. Stephen made a similar point, and we've made this point in similar episodes too. Like, it's better to do an incomplete or an imperfect job than to just do nothing because you can't always achieve perfection.
It's okay to be imperfect. If I can insulate your house, put a solar array on top, and you still use a gas range, okay. All right, that's okay. I've got you like 80 or 90% of the way there. You know, if I could have had you an all-electric house, great. But, you know, maybe you can't afford to do change out the range. Okay, well, that's, you know, we've made a significant impact. If everybody makes 10% change, if everybody makes 30% change, that's going to be greater than everybody trying to make 100% because we're not going to get there.
It's definitely better to do something than nothing every single time. We find that time after time after time.
Yeah, exactly. Let's turn this into a few takeaways. Rob, how do you figure out what home improvements to do this year? If you're longing for more space, do what you can with the square footage you already have. And then if you need to add on, use as little carbon-intense materials like conventional concrete and wood as possible.
And if you're focusing on home improvements, start with insulation and windows. That has the biggest impact. And then move on to electrifying your appliances and throwing some solar panels up on the roof.
All that information that you're looking for rebates and tax credits, all of that's going to become more available this year. Finding them all, it's intimidating. Mm-hmm. The process depends on where you live, but don't let that scare you off from trying. Look at the Energy Star database to search for your contractors. Check your state's website to see when the rebates become available. And also, don't get scammed while you are doing your Google searches. Mm-hmm. So like websites with a .gov, good place to start. For example, just Googled IRS home improvement taxes. First thing that shows up is an IRS link to energy efficient home improvement credit. Super helpful. Try starting there. Okay, Candace, what is the good news this week?
We've talked a bit about heat pumps. Kaylee, did you know that these days when home builders or homeowners update their heating systems, they're actually more likely to install a climate-friendly heat pump instead of a traditional gas furnace?
No, I'm legitimately really surprised. I did not know that.
That's right. Recently, the Air Conditioning, Heating, and Refrigeration Institute released data that said in 2023, Americans bought 21% more heat pumps compared to gas furnaces, which is a 10% point jump from when heat pump sales first surged in 2022.
Wow, okay. The clean energy transition coming soon to an oil-burning heater near you.
Now, granted, there are a couple caveats to this data.
Okay, fine, sure.
Last year, overall, sales for both furnaces and heat pumps were down because of inflation, high interest, supply chain issues, all of that, right?
Yeah, okay.
And not to mention, this data doesn't always mean that more U.S. homes are installing heat pumps. Some homes might need multiple heat pumps.
Okay, sure. All right. That makes sense.
But what this data does suggest is that because heat pumps are growing in popularity, there could be new markets for them across the United States. Like recently, because of improvements in their technology, heat pumps are becoming more popular in cold states like Maine and Colorado.
Oh, that's super important. I feel like everyone I hear is like, well, that's not going to work in the Midwest. Mm. And like we've talked about, the Inflation Reduction Act is incentivizing heat pumps across the U.S. anyway.
Right. The New York Times talked about homeowners in Maine who are switching to heat pumps, and they said that between federal rebates and not buying oil anymore, the new tech could pay for itself.
Oh, that's so cool. Or I guess since they're heat pumps, it's way hot.
Very cute. Very cute. That's it this week on the Anti-Dread Climate Podcast. If you haven't, please subscribe to this podcast and share it with a friend. Go ahead and ask us a question at kcrw.com/climate.
Next week, we're tackling a really fascinating topic.
What is the most environmentally conscious burial? Green burials? Cremation and scatter our ashes around the soil to grow a tree?
I'm Candace Dickens-Russell, environmental educator and CEO at Friends of the LA River.
I'm Kaylee Wells, KCRW's climate reporter. Our executive producer is Sonia Geis. Our production assistant is Celine Mendiola. Technical director is Nick Lamponi. And our music is by Carolyn Penny Packer Riggs. The Anti-Dread Climate Podcast is a KCRW production.